Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Now once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions this evening will be taken from the old King James Version of the Bible. Now, as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am still excited because tonight we will be continuing our study from the book of Matthew. And we know that this study will expose or expound upon the teachings of Jesus Christ according to the gospel or good news of Matthew the apostle. And it gives us a scenario of his life as prescribed only by one of these 12 apostles of his. Now, many new concepts are revealed in 28 chapters of this manuscript. And theologians agree that Matthew's version is written from a Jewish perspective, meaning from a viewpoint of Jewish tradition, learning tradition. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, your Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, another reminder, about every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, which I like to consider it, which at that time, you may ask questions or comment or inquire, if you like, from our host. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using, my brothers and sisters, and I appreciate your input so very much. Now, okay, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. And the promise is that you will become a disciple, a soldier of the cross, a fisher of men, if you follow Jesus. And following Jesus entails denying yourself, picking up your cross to follow him. And we know that if you cast your burdens upon the Lord, that is the easiest way to follow Jesus. Now, Jesus also said, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Now, the promise is significant because if you don't want to be judged, if you don't want to be condemned, if you want to be forgiven, you must do likewise to those of your fellow men. And that's the promise that Jesus made, that you will have that in your, before you and acting for you with him. Jesus said again, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Mark chapter 3, verse 25. If you do not want to be a waverer or be tossed to and fro, like the Bible says, or be double-minded, the promise is that if you stay focused, you will not be divided and will not be subjected to that. Now, the question, again, to you this hour is, are you standing on the promises of Jesus Christ? Now, before we get started, I want to, as I always do, remind you that the Bible, it's written in code, meaning mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break this code, my precious brothers and sisters, is through study and learning. Okay, let's get to the study. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 7. Now, this is a book of 28 chapters, and we're on chapter 7. And I've written 78 instructions for this series. And so we're going to start tonight with Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to be looking at verse 13 and verse 14. And as I read the two verses, please keep in mind this instruction, number 18, which is enter in at the straight gate. Jesus said, enter in at the straight gate. And this is what Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14 says. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Out of the 8 billion people on the face of the earth as it is identified, there are only 3 billion identified as Christians. And of course, we know out of that 3 billion, it's probably only 2 billion plus that are born-again Christians. So you can see how narrow that gate is and how wide the numbers are that are outside that. Verse 14 says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that findeth it. The reason, my brothers and sisters, that we don't find that straight and narrow is because we have one foot in the world and one foot in God. God does not permit that. We will get into our study where we'll find out that God does not, we just talked about it in the promises. You can't be divided. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Now, we're going to go to our Old Testament complement, and we're going to look at Psalms 55, verse 22 and 23. And that is where we're going to see how the Old Testament compares and agrees with what we just read. Psalms 55, verse 22 and 23, this is what the Bible says. This is David speaking to Israel. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Again, if you put your burdens in the hands of the Lord, you will be entering in at the straight gate. Verse 23 says, but thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. And this is telling us that if you trust in the Lord, that you will not have to worry about the way being wide, and you will be lost in for eternity. Now, what I want you to know, this is what spiritually it should mean to us in our lives. This is what this instruction should mean, my brothers and sisters, that the straight gate entrance for us begins with God the Father, then Jesus Christ the Son, and then the Holy Ghost. All three represent the entrance for Christianity. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? And when we come back from the break, I will give more detail on that.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. And know that I am with you always, yes, to the end of time. When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, you will save it. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're just going to complete instruction number 18, enter in at the straight gate. And as I read before or shared with you before, this is the spiritual intent that I want to relate to you for this lesson or this instruction, that the straight gate entrance for us begins with God the Father, then Jesus Christ the Son, and then the Holy Ghost. All three represent the entrance for Christianity. That is so significant, my brothers and sisters. You must have the indwelling in order to enter in uninterrupted through the straight gate. Now, you can have the Father only and be partially entering, but you won't complete your entrance until you have all three. That's what I'm trying to share with you, that indwelling is very significant to entering in at the straight gate. Okay, let's go to instruction number 19. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 7, another instruction from Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be reading verse 15 through 20 in Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to look at this instruction as we read the text. Listen to this, my brothers and sisters. Ye shall know them by their fruit. This is telling us how we shall know one another. Significant. Jesus is instructing the disciples, ye shall know them by their fruit. And this is what Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 20 says. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but corrupt trees bring forth corrupt fruit. Verse 18 says, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and is cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. This is very significant. And what we should understand is that in the epistle of Paul, he tells us about the fruit of the Spirit, and that is our guideline. And so we should use that in basic instructions before leaving earth to measure those who are among us that are corrupt. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, those attributes, those fruits, those are beginners, but that's something we should draw from. And that is what I'm telling you that will let us know how we are associating with those who are not acting out their Christianity in good faith. Now, what we're going to do is go to Proverbs, and we're going to look at the Old Testament complement, and we're going to see how King Solomon say it's similar. This is comparing and agreeing with knowing those fruit. And this is what Proverbs chapter 10 says. We're going to read verse 3, 11, 21, and 29. And this is going to give us a semblance of the same. And this is what Solomon the wise man told Israel in chapter 10 of Proverbs, verse 3. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. That tells us to begin with that the fruit of the righteous, that is the fruit that's going to be received and profit and be productive. That which is of the unrighteous will not. Verse 11 continues the thought, saying, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. So again, we understand that that fruit, that a well of life, the righteous will have it, the wicked will not. Verse 21 continues with the same thought. It says, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. If you see individuals following unwise advice, meaning the fruit of the unwise, then they're going to be in calamity. And those who follow the advice of the wise are going to be fruitful. That's what it's telling us. Again, verse 29 concludes. It says, the way of the Lord is the strength of the righteous, of the upright. but destruction shall be the workers of iniquity. So that tells you, if you see individuals prospering in love and joy and peace and long-suffering, goodness and faithfulness, meekness and temperance, those are nine fruit that Paul identified in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, then we know that that is how we can be successful in Christianity. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that for starters, we should and be known for applying the fruits of the Holy Ghost, which we just identified to you. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. My brothers and sisters, that is, I would say, critical. And I will repeat them again. This is the fruit you should be known by: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. That is what I'm trying to relate to you in this instruction. Okay, let's go now to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to look at verse 21 through 27, and we're going to read, or I want you to pay attention as I read the text. This instruction is, do the will of God by keeping Jesus' sayings and have eternal life. Do the will of God by keeping Jesus' sayings and have eternal life. And that is going to be identified in Matthew chapter 7. And before I continue, let us have a break.
See, brother, it doesn't matter what you're going through. All right? Sometimes there are trials. There are temptations. Sometimes there are difficult days. Persecutions, hard times come. The crisis of life can come. But when that is happening, you hold on. Don't run away. Don't complain. Just hang on. It only came to pass. Just press on. It will surely pass. Jesus said to them at his arrest, this is your hour and the power of darkness. It was for a moment. It came to pass. When it was over, the glorified Son of God was out there. Hallelujah. So you may go through difficulties. You may. You may be giving to God and giving your offerings and sowing seeds and being a wonderful partner, and suddenly you lose your job. It can happen. There's nothing in the Word of God that says that cannot happen. It can happen. You could suddenly lose all your money. It can happen. But all the money you have there is not all the money that belongs to you. When the difficult days come, don't act like, did I make a mistake? Oh God, why is this happening to me now? I don't know why. And then you hear, if you're a Christian, this should never happen to you. It's not true. Something can happen, though you're a Christian. But no matter what happens, you are still a victor. Because the circumstances of your life will never describe the quality of your personality. Though you go through the water, you shall not be drowned. Though you go through the fire, you shall not be burned. He said 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh you. Why? Because your spirit is preserved. He said, in your patience possess ye your souls. In other words, remain confident. No matter what is happening, they may carry you and put you in the dungeon. It doesn't matter. They may bind you hand and foot. It doesn't matter. They may despise you or chastise you. It doesn't matter. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we continue with instruction number 20. Do the will of God by keeping Jesus' sayings and have eternal life. Do the will of God by keeping Jesus' sayings and have eternal life. And this is what Jesus said about that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 27. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then when I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." That is saying that even though you are trying to promote yourself as a Christian, if you're not doing what Christians are supposed to be doing, that is not going to work for Jesus. Verse 24 says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and the fall of it fell, and it was great." And that is telling us, if you do not do what Jesus is telling us to do, and you just hear or say what Jesus is saying, that is not going to be good enough for eternal life. And so let's go to our Old Testament complement, and what we're going to do is see how it compares and agrees with what Jesus just taught. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. Turn your Bibles with me, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. And here is connecting the dots. This is what God tells Israel through Moses. "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments." Remember, if you do, not just hear and say, but if you do, "which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." My brothers and sisters, you will be special. You will become a child of the everlasting God. And verse 2 gives us the completion of the thought, "and all these blessings shall overcome on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." All of the blessings, and you can start naming them as you will, they will overtake you if you are a doer of the word and not just a sayer. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that knowing the word of God, it's not good enough for salvation. We must do the word of God to be saved. That is what I'm sharing with you, my brothers and sisters. We just cannot know. We must do. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 8 now. Matthew chapter 8, we're going to look at verses 1 through 10 to begin with. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the verses. It says, "an example of how to handle blessings from God." Okay. So this is going to give us an understanding of how to handle blessings that come from God. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 through 10 gives us a allegory to that effect. This is what Jesus, this is what it says. "When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. That's how you handle this gift, what Jesus is telling the leper. And Jesus, when he was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said unto him, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but say the words only, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed him, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. What Jesus is saying and how to handle anything that confronts you, my brothers and sisters, is by faith. It is impossible to please God without it. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That is how we handle it. And Jesus is telling us this, and scripture in basic instruction before leaving earth is substantiating it. Now to complete this thought, to give more credence to how to handle these blessings, let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 31, and this is another scenario that's going to explain, it's allegorical, how to handle these blessings. This is what Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 31 says. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And then when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightway charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they had departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. The thing is, again, faith is the key, and that is what we are supposed to implement in order to receive this blessing. Now, what we're going to do is go to our Old Testament complement and see how David, in the book of Psalms, I'll put it to you this way. We're going to go to the book of Psalms, chapter 41, verse 1 through 3, and this is going to tell us how David gave instructions to Israel in his time how to handle blessings. And this is what the psalmist says in Psalms 41, verse 1 through 3. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all of his bed in his sickness. David is telling Israel, this is how you handle the blessings from God. If you consider the poor, you are going to be given access to the Lord God Almighty. And to complete the thought, let us go to Psalms 128, and we're going to be looking at verse 1 through 4, and even more, this is what David says about handling your blessings. In fact, what I'm going to do is wait until the end of the, we're going to break. And then when I return from the break, we will get into the rest of this lesson.
Is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. I've got a promise. Turning back is not an option. There's a calling on my life, and I'm not about to drop it. I got this. For this I was chosen. The final word over me was spoken before I was born. I have a purpose that goes far beyond what I want, what I feel, what I see, and what they say cannot be. With God, all things are possible. And when my desire aligns with the divine, I am unstoppable. In this, I will be confident. Of course the climb is hard. I'm not surprised. The dream is difficult by design to make sure I rely on His might, not mine. His plan, not mine. His hand, not mine. My assignment was conceived in His heart, His mind. And the blessing ahead will always be greater than the battle behind. So this is not the time to compromise or entertain a thousand lies and a million reasons why I can't, or it won't, or it's not, or I'll never. I've heard it before, so shut up, devil. God didn't say He'd make it easy. He said He'd make me better, make me strong, and give me grace to carry on. No matter what the opposition, I only need one weapon. I have the faith to overcome. In this I will be confident. I'm too close to quit, and the stakes are too great for me to hesitate. So whatever it costs, whatever it takes, I keep coming. I show up, take the shot with my hands shaking. The fear is real, but it won't break me. God will not fail me, nor forsake me. I'll keep coming. I'll step to the battle like it's already won. Like I got the enemy on the run. I speak and believe like it's already done. In this, I will be confident. He made me a promise. He gave me a calling. I know that He's able to keep me from falling. I focus my hope. My excuses are gone. The moment to prove the power of God has come. He made me a promise. He gave me a calling. I know that He's able to keep me from falling. I focus my hope. The past is gone. The moment to prove the power of God has come. In this, I will be confident. The odds are long, the haters are loud, the pressure is on. But devil, you messed with the wrong one. I got my sling, I got my stone, and in the name of my God, I will overcome. In this, I will be confident.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us complete instruction number 21, an example of how to handle blessings from God. We're looking at our Old Testament complement, and it's comparing and agreeing with what Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9 gave us a story about how to handle the blessings from God. Now, this is what the psalmist, again, is telling Israel. Psalms 128, verse 1 through 4 says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. That's how you handle it. You are fearing the Lord God, for thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruit vine by the sides of thy house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. So that's how you handle it. That's what David is telling Israel. You fear the Lord, and the rest of what was just read will be a part of your reward. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. Jesus said, freely you receive, freely should give, because the workman is worthy of his hire. And when you give, it will return to you, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. God will have man put into your bosom. That is the result of how you handle the blessings from God. That's what I'm trying to get to you in this lesson. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to look at verse 35 through verse 38. Verse 35 through verse 38. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the text. Pray to God to send in more laborers for the harvest. My brothers and sisters, you are talking about something more than significant. This is critical. Jesus says, pray to God to send in more laborers for the harvest. This is what Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38 says. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as a shepherd having no sheep. That means one man cannot do it. Then says he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Jesus is telling us it takes more than one. He started it, and we must finish it. Now, this is what the Old Testament complement says about that, connecting the dot. We're going to go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18 through 21. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18 through 21. And this is what the prophet says to Israel. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked ways, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. What is being said by the prophet Ezekiel, that each individual is responsible. We are going to be called watchmen, and this is what verse 19 says, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his ways, nor from his wicked ways, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou shalt be delivered by thy way. Again, when a righteous man doeth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous man sin not, and he doeth not sin, he shall utterly live, because he is warned also, thou hast delivered thy soul. And the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said unto me, arise and go forth into the plain, and I will talk to you more there. Now, this is what the Old Testament connection is saying, that all of us, this is an example that Ezekiel was giving to Israel, that we're all responsible as children of God to work in that vineyard. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we are the harvest. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? All of us are the harvest, meaning all mankind. And we are the laborers also. God wills all to be saved, and we must all work out that salvation individually and collectively. We are responsible for one another. That's what it's telling us, and that's what I want to get to you in this lesson, that we are the harvest and we are the laborers. Now let's go to the next instruction, and we're going to look at Matthew chapter 10. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 10, and we're going to be reading verse 1 through 15, Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 through 15, and this is the instruction I want you to pay attention to as I read the text. Jesus delegates authority to his apostles, okay? Jesus has delegated his authority to his apostles, and this is what Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 through 15 says. And when he had called unto his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebithicus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost tribes of the house of Israel. And as ye go, teach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely you give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. So this is telling us that we are to go and perform as Jesus told his disciples to perform. Now let us go to the Old Testament compliments. We're going to go to Exodus. We're going to go to chapter 3 in the book of Exodus, verse 1 through 5, and see how it compares and agrees with what we just read. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, and this is going to tell us about what happened with Moses when he got his instruction and delegation from God. And this is what compares and agrees with what I just read about Jesus telling his disciples the same. And we will continue this after the break.
The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. I've got a promise. Turning back is not an option. There's a calling on my life, and I'm not about to drop it. I got this. For this I was chosen. The final word over me was spoken before I was born. I have a purpose that goes far beyond what I want, what I feel, what I see, and what they say cannot be. With God, all things are possible. And when my desire aligns with the divine, I am unstoppable. In this, I will be confident. Of course the climb is hard. I'm not surprised. The dream is difficult by design to make sure I rely on his might, not mine, his plan, not mine, his hand, not mine. My assignment was conceived in his heart, his mind, and the blessing ahead will always be greater than the battle behind. So this is not the time to compromise or entertain a thousand lies and a million reasons why I can't, or it won't, or it's not, or I'll never. I've heard it before, so shut up, devil. God didn't say he'd make it easy. Said he'd make me better, make me strong, and give me grace to carry on. No matter what the opposition, I only need one weapon. I have the faith to overcome. In this I will be confident. I'm too close to quit, and the stakes are too great for me to hesitate. So whatever it costs, whatever it takes, I keep coming. I show up, take the shot with my hands shaking. Fear is real, but it won't break me. God will not fail me, nor forsake me. I'll keep coming. I'll step to the battle like it's already won. Like I got the enemy on the run. I speak and believe like it's already done. In this, I will be confident. He made me a promise. He gave me a calling. I know that he's able to keep me from falling. I focus my hope. My excuses are gone. The moment to prove the power of God has come. He made me a promise. He gave me a calling. I know that he's able to keep me from falling. I focus my hope. The past is gone. The moment to prove the power of God has come. In this, I will be confident. The time is now. The odds are long. The haters are loud. The pressure is on. But devil, you messed with the wrong one. I got my sling. I got my stone. And in the name of my God, I will overcome. In this, I will be confident.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brother, we're working on instruction number 23. Jesus delegates authority to his apostles. We already seen how he named the 12 in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 through 15, and what he told them to do. And we're looking at our Old Testament complement to see how it compares and agrees. And we're looking at how God gave Moses a delegation. And this is what it says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. It says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Hor. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw nigh thither, put off thy feet from off thy put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. And he continues in verse 10 by saying, Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. That's where God gave Moses the delegation. And it completes the thought in verse 13 through 15 when it says, And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, The God of your fathers have sent me unto you. And they say to you, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent unto you. And God sent Moses forth. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, have sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. And now what we're going to do is, this is what it means to us. I want you to understand spiritually in our lives that through God's calling you and you receiving the Holy Ghost may receive also the power, the gifts of the Spirit, identified by Paul in his epistle chapter, or it was in Corinthians. Now, this is telling us that our calling is to go forth, and we go forth with the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit to help us engage in laboring with love in the Lord's vineyard. That's what I'm trying to share with you in this instruction, my brothers and sisters. Now, let's go to the next instruction, and this is going to take us back to Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, Matthew chapter 10, verse 16 through 23. And what we're going to look at, or I want you to pay attention to, is this instruction as I read the text. The instruction is, working for Jesus will cause this effect. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? When you go to work for Jesus, this is what's going to happen. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16 through 23, this is what it says. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. And be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But be aware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in the synagogues. Now, this was specifically identified to his apostles. But, of course, this impacts us today. Verse 18 says, And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and to the Gentiles. This is what is happening to our missionaries that are sent abroad into other countries. Verse 19, But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father, the child, and the children will rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Now, what this is telling us is that we're going to face, and we know our missionaries do face that death potential. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And that's the reward for working for Jesus. But, of course, the effect is that you may have to give up your life. Now, verse 23 says, But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. And that is specifically identifying the apostles. But, of course, today it identifies us in our salvation. Now what we're going to do is go to the Old Testament complement, and we're going to see how Jeremiah puts it in Jeremiah chapter 38, verse 1 through 6. Jeremiah chapter 38, verse 1 through 6. And this, again, is giving us or telling Israel what happens, because it happened to Jeremiah, if you are working for the Lord. This is the potential. This is what happened to Jeremiah. Then Shephathah, the son of Mattan, and Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, and Jukan, the son of Shemaliah, and Pashur, the son of Micaiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, He that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth into the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey, and shall live. Thus saith the Lord, This city shall surely be given into the hands of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, We beseech thee, let this man be put to death, for thus he weakens the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. So giving out what God had instructed him to do, you can see that Jeremiah was faced with death. And to complete, verse 5 says, Then Zedekiah, the king, said, Behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Melchiah, the son of Hamathcli, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon where there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. So that's what happened to Jeremiah because he followed the orders of the Lord. Now, that is potentially what can happen to us. Now, this is what I'm trying to share with you spiritually about this. That was the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Working for Jesus Christ, it will and can cause this effect. Now, this is what I want you to know spiritually, that this parable or prophecy of Jesus about those whom he sent out is still a happening today, more especially with Christian missionaries. And that's what I want you to understand, that the potential is there that you might lose your life. But, of course, Jesus will not be defeated. He will give you what you need to sustain you through whatever orders or work that you do for him. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to back to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 24 through 42. And this is the instruction that I want you to follow as I read the text. What to expect when you work for Jesus. This is what we should expect when we work for Jesus. Matthew chapter 10, verse 24 through 42, it says, The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he is as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of the household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. And so the rest of that is so significant. You will not fail doing and following God's work. Now what we're going to do is go to the book of Isaiah and see the connection here. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 1 and verse 5 through 10. And it says verse 5 through 10 really gives us the crux of the matter. And I'll tell you, because of the time, I won't be able to get to what the Old Testament connection says, but this is what the spiritually what I want you to understand about this, that you will accomplish whatever calling you receive and be given whatever with all that you need to do it, even to the end, even if it means just physical death. Okay, my brothers and sisters, that ends the lesson for this evening, and the host and I would like to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk radio talk show program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E.